Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The interceptions, I'm telling you, that they're going to come.
Flacco was under center to start the half. Forsett, the running back. Straight drop by Flacco, looking. Fires it out to the right side. That is bobbled and picked off by Devon House. He bobbled it and then hung on, and Jacksonville gets a takeaway to start the second half. He bobbled it, hung on, picked it off, and Jacksonville starts deep in Baltimore territory near the 26-yard line. Under center is Flacco. Now it's an eye formation look. Play fake, rolling to his right. Fires it up the right sideline. Good coverage again by Devon House. He's going to pick it off again. Devon's second interception. He steps out of bounds after picking it off. Back-to-back series, Devon House has an interception, had great coverage on Chris Givens, and he picks it off at the 6-yard line of Jacksonville. 14 seconds of play, 3rd and 15, Jags from their own 40. Straight drop, 3-man rush. Blake steps up, fires it to the side, that is caught by Julius Thomas, but the clock's going to run, 7 seconds. They're going to have to spike it. That's just it. To get a long field goal off. Can they get it spiked? Doesn't look like Blake falls down, the play is alive. And now he's thrown to the ground, but as a face mask, that would make for an untimed down.
Give credit to Blake Bortles. He got it off, and then to continue the play, even though he slipped, you know, we got the face mask call. Huge play in the game, obviously. But then to come out and hit that field goal for Jason, unbelievable.
This is a 53-yarder from the left hash. Jason Myers for the win. Carson Tinker snapped it. Brian Anger will hold it. The snap and hold are good. He kicks it up. This kick is good! This kick is
wow!
Good. The Jaguars have beaten the Ravens on a 53-yard field goal from Jason Myers! Are you kidding me? Jags winning in Baltimore!
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to another week of Jaguars Today, kicking off right now on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. What's up, Tony?
What's going on?
How was your weekend?
It was good.
Was it?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Not much.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was nice.
Slazed around, watched some NCAA tournament.
Yeah, watched some hoops, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of hoops, played a lot of bit of golf, and there you have it. That was about my weekend in a nutshell as well. A little bit, just a smidge of work mixed in the middle as well, but not all that bad. Boy, that was quite the highlight package right there. You had Blake Bortles making late-game plays in a positive fashion for the Jaguars. You had Julius Thomas catching a pass. Yeah, Jason Myers making a kick that mattered. What in the world?
Yeah, Devon House making two interceptions.
Devon House making plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey, it's and like a different era of football.
And our boy Carson Tinker.
The Tink.
Tink was in there, too.
Of course he is. Tink, did he have the best career of any of those guys in a Jaguar uniform? Oh, the Blake lovers are going to be up in arms this morning. All right, good morning, everybody. Just getting rolling here. Tony, there are two kinds of people, I think, yesterday. You had people who picked Duke in their bracket, and you had everybody else who was rooting for UCF to win that basketball game.
I had Duke
game.
In my bracket. I was pulling for UCF.
Were you?
I don't care about my bracket.
I always care about my bracket until I have no chance to win, which usually happens. But
yeah,
I mean,
pretty quickly,
until that point, I mean, I still feel like I have a chance to win. If Duke got knocked out yesterday, there went 60% of the field in the 1010XL in-house pool.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not worried about my bracket. I assume I'm not going to win.
Even if
Duke were to win the national title, I'm not going to win the bracket. Like I never assume I'm going to win. I'd rather watch a team like UCF win.
Oh, it would have been fantastic.
Always.
One of the great upsets, considering Duke is such a prohibitive favorite to at least get to the Final Four.
Oh, sure, yeah.
This year, but Taco Fall, man, he messed up a game. There's no question about it. And those guys were a little bit frustrated. And boy, if that ball. With a minute 30 left or a little under that, doesn't go through Dawkins' hands. They're up 6.
Sure.
And then that might be it right there. But
It's not.
Don't tell my father-in-law I was secretly rooting against the Blue Devils. He's a big Duke fan, has been for a long time, living up in North Carolina.
You ought to be used to it. Everybody is pulling against Duke.
I know, but when I'm with him, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'll, I'll be like, hey, look at that Zion. All I care about Zion Williamson is keep him healthy until I find out if the Knicks have the top pick.
Yeah.
All right? If I find out they don't have the top pick, then I don't care about Zion Williamson anymore, never again, as far as that goes. All right. We're off and running on this Monday. I'm talking Jaguar football with you for the next couple hours, Tony. Massive amount of mock drafts coming out. Matt Miller's got a new 3-round mock. CBS Sports had a 7-round mock late in the week last week. You can go practically to any of the major sites, and on a daily basis, you're going to find one or two new ones out there. And for me, I don't know if you agree with this quartet, but for me, I find the four players that I put in today's poll to be the most frequently mocked to the Jaguars since the Nick Foles signing. Right, since you take Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, and the rare occasion where he was sliding past the first pick, whomever, whatever quarterback out of the picture, you see a lot of Juwan Taylor, the offensive lineman out of Florida. He's probably the most frequently mocked guy to the Jaguars, right? Mm-hmm. And he would slot in as a starting right tackle, which is what he played in Gainesville, and he'd be the first offensive lineman off the board in most of these scenarios, and the Jags would have him to bolster the run in the pass game. Okay, DK Metcalf. Not as often mocked to the Jags, but I think there's still some sentiment among the fans that they're enamored with the, you know, a potential Terrell Owens-type athlete at the position anyway. So I've seen him mocked on occasion to the Jaguars. T.J. Hockenson, the Iowa tight end. Sometimes you even see Noah Fant get mocked to them, but Hockenson pretty frequently. And then the guy kind of coming up on the outside and the position coming up on the outside a little bit that we've talked about in recent weeks is Rashawn Gary, the defensive end out of Michigan, the pass rusher. It could have been Montez Sweat, but I see Gary starting to get mocked a little bit more to the Jags. But the idea of defensive end being in play for Jacksonville, I think, is becoming more of a conversation right now.
I think it definitely is. And I think it's becoming more and more of a conversation for the fans around here. In my mind, you know, I think about it. We put the poll up today, and in my mind, I'm turning a little bit on the offensive line pick, mostly because I think we're putting an offensive lineman there because they have the opportunity to get the best offensive lineman in this draft. I don't know how good a player any of these guys really are. When you compare them to the type of player that they're talking about, you could potentially get at tight end, or the type of player you could get potentially on the defensive line, if that's the direction you're going. And if you're picking a number 7, I'm more concerned about what kind of player you're getting than what position they necessarily play when you have a team that still has needs. That's not to say offensive line isn't a need and that I don't want to see them address it in the upcoming draft. I'm saying when you're talking about these tight end prospects and these defensive line prospects, the way people are talking about them compared to the way that they talk about the offensive line guys, it feels more and more to me like if they took the offensive lineman, it's because they feel like they have a hole at right tackle.
Right, it's a need pick much more so. And which is why they tried to go out there and at least get placeholders.
Sure.
Look, I'm not trying to. And Cedric Ablay, he's a better football player than I'll ever be, ever dreamed of being. But
no doubt,
he's a guy who, you know, I heard a Cincinnati fan. How did he describe it? False start, Bobby Hart was how he described the Bengals opting to go with Bobby Hart, who was like one of the worst graded offensive linemen in football last year, instead of Cedric Ablay going forward at the right tackle position. So you're not exactly, just because you're getting a guy who at one point was regarded as, you know, a high first-round talent at his time at Texas A&M, you're not getting a guy that's performed up to that level. So, but they do have placeholders at all these spots. So I think that was their goal, to go in and not say, well, we have to get the right tackle. Now, they can convince themselves that between Will Richardson and Cedric Ablay, and, oh, by the way, you can take a tackle in round 2.
Sure.
Or round 3, potentially, you know, that they could get by with a combination like that. So we gave you the top four, Hockenson, Taylor, Metcalf, Rashawn Gary. If you had to see the Jags take one of these four players with the 7th overall pick, in other words, take any other play out of consideration, these are the ones, the best available at the top of their respective positions, at least that seems to be the consensus. There's no ability to trade down. You have to take one of these four. Which way would you go? Already well over 200 votes in about the first 15 minutes since we posted this. And right now, one guy's running away with it. We'll discuss throughout the course of the program. We'll also discuss the career of Rob Gronkowski. Is he really done? Could Gronk come back? William McGinnis suggested before the official retirement announcement that he thought he would announce his retirement, then possibly return late in the season after not having gone through, you know, all the rigors of training camp and all this stuff, which, you know, if you read Peter King's column this morning, obviously last season was a physically challenging one, probably the most physically challenging of Rob Gronkowski's career in some ways, in which he was still able to play. I mean, he's had some major injuries in the past as well, but this seemed like more of a daily grind for him. But is he the best tight end to ever play the game? He's certainly in that conversation and a future likely first ballot Hall of Famer, at least in my estimation. If he does, he, Jim Brown, and Gale Sayers, if Rob Gronkowski doesn't play another game, would be the only players enshrined in Canton, Ohio that never played a game in their 30s.
Yeah.
All of them retired before the age of 30.
That's pretty incredible. Drew Rosenhaus's agent apparently is on Get Up right now on ESPN. He was asked about this exact scenario. Like, Rob Gronkowski in the future, here's a quote from Drew Rosenhaus. If the team was struggling or they needed him at some point next year, and let's just say hypothetically Tom Brady gave him a call and said, Rob, I need you, I wouldn't be shocked if he came back to play a few games.
Right. So, you know, yeah. I'm not 100% convinced. You know, and what a great situation to be in if you've got that kind of clout. He could be done now. He's got a stellar career. He's got, you know, 3 world championships. He's fine. His resume is as good as it needs to be. Third most touchdowns scored all time before the age of 30. Behind Randy Moss and Jerry Rice in the history of the National Football League. So we'll get into that as well today. If you'd like to weigh in, ways to do it include on social media. On Twitter, you can vote in the poll at MD_1010XL. Also hit up at 1010XL Fat Tony. Likewise, same thing for the Jaguars Today Facebook page, or pick up the phone or text us at 641-1010. The text line, of course, driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and E.T. here with you, kicking off a week of Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars Today. We're over at World Headquarters today. We'll be over at the bank the next several days down at TIAA Bank Field as they work to get ready for the draft coming up now in just a smidge over 4 weeks' time from today. In the you can't make everybody happy category, Tony, I live that life on a daily basis. Got a few responses to the question, why would you have this guy in there? Why would you have Rashawn Gary? I'd rather have Montez Sweat. Well, I'm glad that you'd rather have Montez Sweat. I had Rashawn Gary because I consistently see him picked. I'll say this. I'd say 60-40. I see him picked ahead of Montez Sweat.
Yeah,
and I had to pick one of them.
I'd say there are plenty of days between now and 4.5 weeks from now when the draft happens that we will again ask you what you would like to see them do.
Yes.
With a pick. That's not the question we're asking today. You'll have plenty of opportunities to continue to answer what you would like to see them do or which defensive lineman you would prefer if they go that direction. Rashawn Gary is the one that most often gets mocked to the Jags. Even if that's not the one that you would take, it's basically asking, would you like to see him take a defensive lineman? Like, if you want to look at it that way, look at it that
Correct.
Way. If you'd rather have one of the other guys, pick one of the other guys.
But there are enough specific names out there. We've done that kind of what position are you most interested in. We're trying to get it narrowed down to a few names now,
yeah.
Right? You're picking 7th here. You're not picking 77th. We can kind of discern what we think the pool is going to be. And, yeah, could it be Sweat over Rashawn Gary if they went defensive line? Absolutely.
Sure.
And that's fine. As somebody said, I went with Hockenson, but I prefer Fant. I don't think there's much chance they'd take Fant at number 7. I think they could take Hockenson at number 7. I'm talking about based on the way the scouting reports have come in on these guys, right? Fant is, he's Jared Cook. More Jared Cook than Rob Gronkowski, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, at least the way he's described, excellent field stretcher, good offensive playmaker, ability to split him out wide. You don't hear much about him as a solid contributor setting the edge in the run game. Right, where T.J. Hockenson is at least talked about like he's equally adept. Oh, by the way, I was looking at some numbers this weekend. Fant's drop percentage, I want to say, gosh, I don't quote me on the exact number. I want to say it was something around 14%, which is incredibly high.
Yeah, it's a big number.
Really big number. And Hockenson, among the tight ends, I forget what the parameters were, X amount of targets or X amount of receptions or whatever the threshold was, he was the most shorthanded tight end in the class. In addition to being a fairly dynamic player himself and really good you know, in the blocking game. So if you're asking me which direction the Jags would go, I think it's clearly Hockenson over Fant. You know, there are people that prefer Fant because they just want that type of tight end. I don't think that's what the Jags want for this team. Balance, maybe the key word now, Tony, as opposed to just run dominant with this offense. But even so, TJ Hockenson strikes me as more of a balanced tight end than Noah Fant does.
Well, I think he's a better blocker than Noah Fant is, and Fant may be a slightly better receiving option than Hockenson is. I guess the next time we get somebody else that's been studying and grading these guys, we should start asking specific questions about these guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know how often you can play tight end at Iowa if you can't block. You know, like, I do think there is a little bit to that. You know, that idea of you're not getting on the field at Iowa if you give us nothing in the run game.
Maybe, but if you've got Hockenson on the field,
but
and
Hockenson,
you're Fant, you can get away with being
sure,
a little bit more of that type of player.
He's a different animal. And if you read through some of the stuff, I'm looking through a draft profile right now on NFL.com for Noah Fant, and it looks like he's fine as a blocker. What he isn't is a set-the-edge guy. Like, there are things that you can ask him to do, and he's perfectly capable of doing that. But he's not what Hockenson would be in that kind of area. And Hockenson isn't what Fant is, especially when you get down near the goal line. He's just not, because Fant's the more athletic guy, and he's the bigger threat when you get into that part of the field. So I do think it's a bit of a pick your poison. If I thought the Jags were going to pick which bottle they were going to drink, I think it'd be Hockenson.
Right, and that's not to say they wouldn't take Fant
right
at the appropriate time. Like, if let's say they trade back in the middle of the first round and Hockenson's off the board. Oh, I'm not saying they would hate the idea of Noah Fant.
No.
I just think if you've got a guy who is clearly considered the best all-around tight end, and you've got a guy who's seen more as a, you know, finesse can be a dirty term in football. I don't mean it as a derogatory term towards Noah Fant, but, you know, look, Tony Gonzalez is great. Rob Gronkowski is great, right? Tony Gonzalez, I would say, is more the Noah Fant type, right? Fantastic receiver, by the way.
Sure.
But Gronk gave you everything on top of that. And I think for me, you know, other than longevity, I'd rather have Gronk than Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez was fantastic. I just think Gronk was a little bit better all around. He could do everything. He split him out wide and run him on deep routes. We saw it in the postseason this year. He was the most dominant run-blocking tight end for a stretch of his career in the National Football League as well, or right up there among the very best. 6-4-1-10-10, you want to get in, discuss what we're talking about today? If you had the choice between those four particular players at number seven, which direction you would go? Rashawn Gary is featured, I told you, as the pick by the Jaguars in a CBS seven-round mock draft that, while it may be a pipe dream to expect it to play out the way this was laid out, I'll go through this in a little bit coming up. And this is my favorite one that I found for the Jags so far this year. Really like the picks through at least the first five selections, which is through their early fourth-round pick. They don't have a fifth. They don't have a seventh. And then they add a sixth-round pick in there as well. Let's go to the phones for the first time today at 6-4-1-10-10 and welcome Steve in Ponte Vedra here to Jaguars today. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, guys. The tight end position, you guys are talking about that. I love the Swain pickup, and then we got O'Shaughnessy back.
Yep.
I think we're great there at tight end. I don't think we need to do anything with tight end. Seventh pick, you know, we all know the quarterback is the most important position. We got Foles. I think he'll do a great job for us. But I would stock up at QB. I'm sorry. I think the QB makes every position better. I don't care what position it is. We need a good backup QB to train and back up Foles, because Foles may only be here for 2 years, period. So that's my take on it.
All right, well, I appreciate it. And if that were one of the options today, I would have voted for that as well. But it's not. I mean, Tony and I are on record the whole process. We'd still take Dwayne Haskins if he's sitting there at number seven.
Yeah.
That's not the question. And guess what? The Jags aren't going to take Dwayne Haskins if he's sitting there at number seven.
I don't believe they would.
Now, maybe they'll trade back, but, you know, we're trying. You've got a two-hour show. You're trying to really narrow down some specifics here. There are many other permutations of how this could play out. Obviously, you know, I don't think they're going to take quarterback. I would take it. I'd agree with Steve. I just don't think that's the direction they're going to go. We're trying to narrow it down to more likely candidates that they would lean to. I think if you ran a poll among the people who want Dwayne Haskins still at number seven, Tony, as to how many of those thought the Jags would actually take him there, I bet even they, even the most ardent Haskins supporters, I think it would be a low number of them thinking that the Jags are going to go that route.
If they were answering it honestly with what they think the team is going to do.
This is the direction that they, the lot they've cast is the Nick Foles lot. And I agree with Steve that he may only be here for 2 years, but he will be here for 2 years. And I just think this team right now, this coaching staff, if you're Doug Marrone, Dave Caldwell, Tom Coughlin, you draft Dwayne Haskins – with Nick Foles in the fold, you're drafting Dwayne Haskins potentially for some other coaching staff. You know, you're thinking in your mind, he's not going to play till 2021 on this football team, and we want to win football games right now.
Yeah.
And again, I would do it. You would do it. I don't think there's a chance that they're going
to
do it.
No, I don't expect them to do it. And as far as them being good at tight end, that's like saying they're good at right tackle. Like, they're not.
Right. Jess Swain, what, he cut 26 balls last year, I think is the most of any receiver on this roster in a single season?
Yeah. I mean, O'Shaughnessy got you 24 catches last year. He's gotten you 38 in his two seasons here in 30 games. Like, it's, to me, when they re-signed O'Shaughnessy, that's fine. You know, you're going to have, I expected him to sign two guys.
Four or five tight ends on the roster.
I expected him to sign two guys of some sort in free agency at tight end. They needed to. They needed to sign two guys. But to me, it was not all that different than signing a Boye. Like, honestly, it was like, all right. Like, if they got to throw the guy out there, he can play. But that's the level of expectation I have for him. I don't think they're any better at tight end than they are at right tackle.
I think they're maybe a smidge better. Like, I would, I have a little bit of, not excitement, but open-mindedness towards what Jeff Swain might be able to blossom into.
Better be able to stay healthy.
I understand. Look, but I agree with you that I don't think they're set at tight end, but that's what we're asking for. Look, that's Steve's, he's looking at it like Hockenson's off the board for me because I think we have enough there. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't think they have, put it this way, they're much better at quarterback right now than they are at tight end or right tackle.
Yes.
I mean, hugely better at quarterback than they are. So while it's the most important position, they feel like they've answered. They feel like they've invested in it. And I'd be shocked if you're going to get much. You know, again, Will Greer sitting there in the third round? Sure, possibly. Seeing Will Greer, I saw one column at SI today, SI.com, saying there's buzz for Will Greer now sliding into back end of the first round, kind of where he was at the beginning of January, right? You remember those mocks that had Will Greer as certainly as a top 40 pick?
Yeah.
And now it's starting to circle back around. You know, you look at Drew Lock. Doesn't mean Drew Lock won't go ahead of him still, but Drew Lock struggling with accuracy, which is kind of his forte. He's got great physical tools, but he's not always the most pinpoint accurate guy. Will Greer's accuracy is his strength, and he showed a lot of arm strength at the combine. You look at those throwing velocity numbers that he put up. Matt Miller, Bleacher Report, a guy that Tony and I both like, put out a three-round mock today, and he had Will Greer going one pick before the Jags' second, third-round selection, which I think would, you know, who knows if the Jags would actually take him or not, but I think if that scenario were to play out, there'd be a lot of disappointed people.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you're that close to a guy that you think could come in at that level of investment. It's kind of like what are we talking about with Josh Rosen. Is Josh Rosen not worth the dart throw of a third-round pick if you could actually get him for that?
Yeah.
Which may not turn out to be the actual price on this guy. You know, just gets
thrown out
there. I
wouldn't think it would be, but yeah, if it was going to cost me a third-round pick, that's easy.
Right, I'd take that shot on Josh Rosen, and I'd be fine taking that shot on Will Greer, and I think the Jags would be more – look, we'd be fine taking the seventh pick on Dwayne Haskins, so we, I think, would certainly be fine.
If they draft a quarterback in the first three rounds, I'm not going to complain.
Right, if it's a guy that, you know, if they go out of left field on a guy that most people had, you know, considered a fourth-round pick, and they take him at the top of round two, I think we'll be asking some serious questions about it, but, you know, I just don't see that being a likely scenario. But Steve, thanks for getting us started. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in on it today. Where are they more settled? Tackle or tight end? I think we'd all agree for right now, for 2019, they're more settled at quarterback and defensive end. Defensive end changes very rapidly potentially next year if Calais Campbell is not here. What if Calais Campbell misses a month this year, Tony? What are you going to do?
Dwan Smoot? And Taven Bryan.
Taven Bryan slide out to, quote, big end
and
play that position?
I don't know what else you could do at this point.
I don't know either, right? And is that anywhere near good enough to get you where you want to go? You know, you can make the same argument with quarterback, like Nick Foles goes down, but that's pretty much true of most quarterback rooms around the National Football League.
Yeah.
You know, and Tom Coughlin, as we pointed out many times, built a Super Bowl championship squad in New York by obsessively doubling down on the defensive line, taking Jason Pierre-Paul when they were pretty good. They had Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan still playing well, and, you know, but Strahan was getting closer to the end of his career. And along came Jason Pierre-Paul and injected some more life into that pass rush, and that's how they were able to take down the New England Patriots in part. So it's a proven formula, at least I would imagine in Tom Coughlin's eyes. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey, what's up? This is Tiki Barber, former New York Giant, and now Don of Kinky Boots on Broadway. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
You know, here's the beautiful thing about sports, Tony. You may consider it a beautiful thing. You may not, but I do. Is that, you know, everybody's got their own opinion, right? And,
sure.
And that's the, like Steve calls in and says, hey, we're good at tight end. That's his belief. Like, you don't have to have a super dynamic tight end, is his opinion. Or we have enough at the tight end position. Whereas others, I mean, you can find people that are convinced that if you don't take Haskins, you are, if he's available to you at seven, you are
not trying.
You're not trying. You're idiots. You should be fired on the spot. You have others that would think the same thing if you did take him because you just invested $88 million or whatever the final number is going to be on Nick Foles' deal. So, you know, I don't know. We can't know what they're going to think. We have our opinions too, though, you know, as to what the Jags would do and what we would do if we were in those positions. Here's a fun kind of question we saw on the text line here a moment ago. If Zion Williamson were going to play in the NFL, what position do you think he'd play?
Tight end or defensive end?
Yeah, My first instinct was tight end, and I'm like, nah, they'd get that guy. What is he, like 6'6"? You look at the athlete he is at his
size. He's like 6'7", 280?
That's
6'7", 285.
6'7", 285. That's got defensive end written all over
it
right there. You know, and with the athleticism that he brings to the position, and it's such – in the overall scheme of things, look, tight end's important, right? Gronk's going to be a Hall of Famer. Travis Kelce is a big part of one of the best offenses in football.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Still got to rush that passer, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Although I doubt you can convince him to choose football over basketball
point. Yeah, no. No. And I'm happy to announce that he even said, look, even if the Knicks have the first pick, he's still sticking with basketball.
Yeah,
so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's the direction he would choose to go.
I think it's pretty safe. But it's fun to speculate. You see a guy like that, and you're like, wow, he could have played anything he wanted to. You know, he certainly could have played football with that physique.
Yeah.
He could have done something. And I think defensive end with tight end being the fallback, those are the two spots that you would have seen him likely excel at the high collegiate level. Let's go back to the phone, 641-1010. The number, Sean, is in Bay Meadows, and he's now on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, guys. I was walking the dog this morning with the app on, and you guys were talking about Rashawn Gary, and honestly, I've been doing a lot of mock drafts myself.
Okay.
He's supposed to be putting on weight, which means he wants to play inside, which is exactly, you know, what Calais does. So if they're drafting him to be just like him, because let's face it, I love Calais to death, but he's not getting any younger or cheaper. And so to keep your defensive line strong for the next 4 or 5 years, that's probably what TC would do. I don't see him drafting Juwan Taylor at right tackle. He couldn't, you know, justify that. So I would prefer that even over Jonah Williams. He's supposed to be a guard in the league from what I'm hearing. But then also, guys, a question as far as I want to also trade back in the draft, but I think you answered my question on Twitter last week, Mike, you know, what cap space they had with all the, you know, signing possibilities, and you said they had allocated money for the rookies already they're going to draft, correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's my understanding that any cap figure you hear now usually is with the rookie pool set aside.
Okay, so if they trade back, are they just going to spread that rookie money to extra players, or are they going to have to allocate more? Because I think trading back, you can get Rashawn Gary maybe at 11 or 12. But also like Montez Sweat. So just my thought, guys, that you guys have a good one.
No, that's a really good question, actually, Tony, because generally what happens is your rookie pool is kind of – it's not that you're given extra space to sign your rookies. It's just how much
you need so much space to sign
because
rookies.
Of the slotting system.
Yeah. And you need to hold back a little bit in case you need to sign somebody else because somebody gets hurt, whatever, that kind of deal too.
And by the way, the rookie pool, I believe you can, like, you don't have to adhere to it. It's kind of a slotted system, and because everyone has a pool of money that they're allowed to spend on the rookie, like, you can't just spend unlimited money, but you can allocate your rookie pool how you want to. Like, you can take more money and you could overpay your first-round pick draft slot guy at the expense of your second- or third-round pick, for instance. But teams don't do that because they don't want to throw things out of whack, and you don't want teams
– Yeah, you don't want to rock the boat.
You don't want – well, you don't want players that don't want to show up because they're getting chump change for being drafted where they're drafted, and they're already, you know, kind of taking it on the chin compared to the first-round pick financially. But I would assume, let's say – you trade back from 7 to 15, and in the process, you pick up a first-rounder next year, right, which doesn't affect your cap this year. Well, you're not paying the 15th pick the same as you're paying the 7th pick.
No.
So that would just free up, I can't tell you the exact, let's say a couple million bucks, to then, it's not just, your rookie pool would be this, but you'd have money left over that you could then allocate to a veteran free agent. Now, by that point, the veteran free agent market is dried up
you
in terms of impact. What's that?
You allocate it to Yarn.
You might allocate it to a Unique Ngakoue and an extension, or you just keep that cap space with the idea that I'm going to roll it over into 2020 or whatever. But it would absolutely change the economics of how it played out. So, and again, here's a guy who said in that scenario, I'd take Rashawn Gary. There are people saying, why would you even mention him? Defensive end is so not a concern. I don't think my concern right now is not Calais' play falling off. It's the latter part of Sean's point. It's the finances, right? Because now we're all sitting here in this world where we haven't given Unique Ngakoue an extension, and we haven't given Miles Jack an extension, and we haven't given Jalen Ramsey an extension. We haven't even begun, as far as I know, any serious heavy lifting in that direction. But when you do, how are you going to stack the contracts? Like Nick Foles this year, Tony, his salary's pretty low because they wanted to keep his cap hit to a range where they could still go out and make some moves in free agency, maybe just not blockbuster moves because they're taking such a big hit from Blake Bortles' dead money. Well, next year, Nick Foles' salary, I think, goes from like 5 to 15 million.
It's 5 to 15.125. His cap hit this year is 12, next year it's 22.
22. So that's an extra 10 million you got to come up with just for this guy's contract growing next year. Now, you'll get $15.5 million back from Blake, you know, but it doesn't all of a sudden free up a whole bunch of money because you got to take a bunch of that and $10 million of it basically and give it to or apply it to Nick Foles' contract.
And you want to get the deal with Yon done sooner rather than like as soon as you can get it done, you want to get. I don't want Unique Ngakoue
to have 17
to
sacks
step
this
on
year.
The field next year. With the idea being, I'm going to play out this season and then have the opportunity, if I want to test free agency potentially. Now, likely, I think they'd try to franchise him anyway.
I think they would.
And keep a hold of him if they could. But, man, it'd be nice to get that done and not have to worry about that. And I'm not as concerned with the Miles Jack aspect of it because he did. It wasn't as good as it needed to be last year. So you do want to see the bounce back from Miles and what position is he going to play. And they have some, you know, they got to move some things around potentially with a decision to make on Telvin Smith's future here in Jacksonville compared to what they want to do with Miles Jack. So that one doesn't concern me as much, but it's certainly something you have to think about. The Yon deal, I mean, if you don't have to put him on the field with the opportunity that if he plays 16 more games for you, he can be a free agent, I don't want to. Because I do think he's among the top 5 to 10 defensive ends in the league.
When you factor in age, I think. Age, productivity, makeup, you know, what type of player he is, driven, you know, he's a self-motivated guy, all those different things. Yeah, you can't lose Unique Ngakoue. You cannot lose Unique Ngakoue. I mean, if it were a choice between letting Miles Jack walk and signing Unique Ngakoue, you sign Unique Ngakoue. You just have to have those pass rushers.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean they'd have to let Miles Jack walk. I'm just saying if it came to that.
No.
Jalen Ramsey is a bigger consideration. He's a bigger chip, I think, but not by, I think, the margin maybe that some people would think. Because if you don't have the pass rush, no matter how good Jalen Ramsey is, If quarterback has enough time, they're gonna. You can't cover forever, right? Sure. So when you're a potential playmaker, and we focused on this stat, you're gonna be sick about hearing about it. About Yannick Ngakoue was third in the league in quarterback hits last year, and typically when you do that, you're gonna produce a lot more sacks than he did. It's kind of fluky the low sack total he had. The only guys with more quarterback hits were Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. So no pure defensive end had more quarterback hits than Yannick Ngakoue did last year. They just didn't all translate to sacks.
Yeah, and like you said, the Ramsey chip is the biggest chip, right, because of his status, it feels like. But he's playing fourth year this year. You got the fifth-year option that you've already picked up. You do have the franchise option for a couple years after that. Now, how cooperative Jalen would be with any of that is a big question.
Sure.
Right? I mean, even going to his fifth year, I don't know, you know, what they're going to get from Jalen Ramsey next offseason. As far as the way that he's going to deal with trying to get himself a contract. I don't know what that looks like. I don't imagine it's going to be very pretty here in Jacksonville between the two sides, but I don't see Jacksonville budging on that right now with everything else that they have to do.
Well, I mean, he took off, what, over a week for the birth of his child. What does he get for the birthday?
Yeah,
does he get it 3 days for the birthday?
I don't know.
Just asking. These are questions that need to be answered. This one on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. I don't know, man. Don't get me wrong. Hockenson's blocking is crazy good. He's like having another offensive lineman out there. He goes heads up on a defensive lineman, and he has good hands, seems to run routes okay, but he looks average athletically, not sudden, not quick, not fast, and doesn't seem to break many tackles. Pick at number 7, I'd rather go with Rashawn Gary at defensive end and then tight end Irv Smith in round 2. Or if you go with Juwan Taylor, go with tight end in round 2. This is assuming we can't trade down. Which brings me – let me get to the 7-round mock. Because this was fun for me because it was a different approach. And, you know, look, all these things are just grist for the mill, man. They're just the wet noodle on the wall and seeing if it sticks. None of these are to be taken as gospel. But it's fun, in my opinion, to look at the various scenarios of how things might play out if you begin your draft in a certain way. If you go Juwan Taylor, okay, you've addressed your right tackle position. What do you do with the rest of your picks? If you go with an offensive playmaker, be it a Hockenson, a Metcalf, a Fant, whomever that may happen to be, what do you do with the rest of your picks? In this one, I saw a 7-round mock, and I geeked out, and I went right to it. I clicked right on it, and Rashawn Gary was the pick. Right, this is Chris Trapasso at CBS, okay?
Okay.
Another pick that stays the same from last week, updating his shorter mock draft from the previous week. The Jaguars have a need on the edge and would likely be intrigued by his positional versatility, which is what Sean was talking about. 277-pound guy, and he is praised for being able to slide inside, play on the edge, you know, and stand up against the run, slide inside on third down if that's where you want him. So he is kind of a comparable player in that regard to Calais Campbell, at least in terms of that versatility. Now, I'm not saying he's at Calais' level. Calais has earned a certain amount of cachet. So, all right, Rashawn Gary. Wait a minute. We have not addressed any of the offensive needs for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, so round 2, they go with Caleb McGarry, an offensive tackle out of Washington. Okay? I can't tell you I've scouted Caleb McGarry all that closely, but Chris Raposo says, if this regime in Jacksonville was cool with picking Cam Robinson in round 2 a few years ago, I could see McGarry, a similar prospect, being the selection here. Not sure. That's kind of a weird phrasing there. Like, all right, if they're cool with taking Cam Robinson, almost like, well, if they're willing to settle for him, they'll settle for this guy. I don't know if I like the phrasing, but they get an offensive tackle, all right? So they don't get Juwan Taylor, but let's say they had gone Juwan Taylor in round 1 and wanted to go defensive end in round 2. What's the fall-off going to be? Likely steeper is my guess. But regardless, so they get another offensive tackle in the equation in round 2. Round 3, the Jaguars' first selection in this scenario, Irv Smith, the Alabama tight end, slides to the 5th pick of round 3. How many Jaguar fans are not signing up for these first 3 selections, right? If you knew right? And that's the thing. Do I think Irv Smith will be there in round 3? No, I do not. Could he be? I suppose. So from the standpoint of just having a little fun with it, I really like the way this is headed.
Sure.
Second, third round pick, Tony. How about Will Grier, quarterback, West Virginia? Even with Foles under contract for the next few years, the Jags get insurance at the quarterback spot with one of the most accurate QBs in this class.
Okay.
Now we're talking, right? Now we got quarterback, we've got tight end, we got offensive tackle, and we got what we hope is an elite pass rusher, elite defensive lineman. Well, we still haven't addressed running back. Well, hold your horses. Miles Sanders, running back out of Penn State with the 7th pick of round 4. He's a guy that's starting, I think, to climb the charts. Good pass catcher. Had some pretty good numbers, in some regards comparable to things Saquon Barkley did at Penn State. Obviously, he was blocked behind him until this year. Now, Saquon's a much more explosive receiver. You look at Saquon's per catch average. It's almost double what this guy was. But he has good hands, Miles Sanders. And in the 4th round.
Yeah, you're not picking him 2nd. You're picking him in the 4th round.
You get him in the 7th pick of the 4th round.
Yeah.
And then so now you've addressed running back. You're hitting all your needs here. And I felt that it was a solid value play. And then Jonvay Johnson, a wide receiver out of Toledo, was a 6th round pick. I can't tell you much about him.
No.
Right? But you and I have said, if you look at these skill positions, well, they're deeper at wide receiver than they are at tight end or at running back right now. That doesn't mean I don't feel better with a healthy Leonard Fournette than I do anybody in the wide receiver corps.
Sure.
But
– well, they're deeper at that position with guys that I've actually seen make a play or two in the
so
league.
If of all healthy, if I had Marquise Lee and Dede Westbrook and then somebody from DJ Chark, Chris Connolly, Keelan Cole stepping up to be a semi-consistent third receiver on a team – that is going to still throw the ball maybe, you know, just over 50% of the time, 55 to 45, something like that. If you have a tight end now in Irv Smith as a playmaker, I'm not sweating the wide receiver position at that point as much.
No.
So, anyway, love the way that mock came out, which means it has zero chance of actually playing out that way for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But out of all the scenarios I've seen thrown out there, top to bottom, that was probably the one I liked the most for somebody who's actually trying, not just trying to slot guys for the Jags, but trying to do it for all 32 teams.
Yeah, he's just making picks, and it fell out that way.
Hey, look, we don't think Irv Smith will fall there, Tone. Will Greer may be long gone by then, but funny things happen in the draft. You just don't know for sure what's going to be available. But if it did go that way, I think a lot of people would be very, very happy. Coming back with this Dayton football and the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League, plenty of time for you to get in and talk Jaguar football with us at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, it's going to be a quick one on this date in football history, Tony. Not much of significance happened, nor were many significant players born on this date. Now, while some are questioning why Rob Gronkowski, did not wait until June the 9th to announce his retirement, you can figure out why that might be appropriate for Gronk. I would say maybe it's because he wanted to celebrate Glenn Gronkowski's birthday with him today.
Oh,
that's
okay.
How far down at the bottom of the barrel I've dug. 26 years old is Glenn Gronkowski. He played, tell me which team he played for at what position in his one game in the National Football League.
Washington tight end.
He would be a fullback for Buffalo. In 2016 is what Glenn Gronkowski was. 26 years old today. And that's it. That's it. I got bupkis for this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
As you mentioned there, the big news in the NFL, New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement from the NFL after 9 seasons via Instagram on Sunday. Gronk won 3 Super Bowl rings with the Pats in those 9 years, where he was a 5-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro. Gronk's 79 touchdown receptions since he entered the league rank 3rd among tight ends all time, leads all players in touchdown catchers since he entered the league, and he added 12 more in the postseason. Gronk racked up 5 seasons with 10 or more touchdown receptions, the most in NFL history for a tight end. The New England Patriots could be making a play for free agent tight end Jared Cook to help and replace Gronk. The Patriots reportedly had some interest in Jared Cook, who has been exclusively negotiating with the New Orleans Saints, according to Ian Rappaport. The Patriots tight end depth chart currently has Steven Anderson, Matt Lacoste, Jacob Hollister, and Ryan Izzo to replace Rob Gronkowski. Wide receiver Jeremy Maclin announced his retirement yesterday on social media from his wife's baby shower. Maclin didn't play at all in 2018, last appearing in 12 games for the Baltimore Ravens. During the 2017 season, the Dallas Cowboys are signing free agent safety George Iloka. Iloka turns 29 later this week. Spent last season with Minnesota after 6 years in Cincinnati, where he was drafted. Both Giants co-owners John Mara and Steve Tisch spoke about how reluctant they were to trade wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. over the weekend, saying it was one of the more difficult decisions that they ever had to approve, that they both personally really liked Odell and recognized him as a transcendent talent, but that the trade was being driven for by general manager Dave Gettleman and head coach Pat Shurmur. Johnny Manziel made his AAF debut over the weekend for Memphis. Manziel came into the game for quarterback Brandon Silvers during the second quarter, led the team to a field goal attempt on his first drive. Manziel followed that up with 2 3-and-outs before being placed on the bench. He wound up 3 of 5 for 42 yards and ran for another 20 yards in the Memphis win.
Manziel must still get clicks, man, because there were so many breathless stories about how he led them to a field goal attempt on his first drive, which they missed. He completed 1 out of 2 passes and ran for 20 yards. And the incompletion was a drop, but whatever. Good luck to you, Johnny. As far as that goes, yes, we were hesitant to trade Odell Beckham Jr., but it's not every day you get a chance to add an otherworldly talent like Jabril Peppers to your bottom line.
True. Tone.
So whatever it takes when Jabril Peppers becomes available. Here's current update on the poll for Jaguars today. If the Jags had to take one of these four players with the 7th overall pick in this year's draft, which one would you prefer they select? And if it makes it easier for you, that if you are a person who wants Ed Oliver or you're a person who wants Montez Sweat or Devin White or Dwayne Haskins, you can assume, A, either they were taken ahead of the Jaguar selection or they had an unfortunate accident prior to the NFL draft and therefore were medically unable to continue their football careers. Whatever makes it easier for you, if they had to take one of these four, if they were the only four players left that were draft eligible, which one would you have? 58% right now of nearly 600 votes want T.J. Hockenson. So he's the runaway winner as of right now. Juwan Taylor, J-A-W-A-A-N, Juwan Taylor. And I was pretty good. I asked both E.T. and Tony this morning for the show, how do you spell Juwan Taylor? They both had all the A's right. E.T. just had two of them before the W as opposed to after the W. But that was pretty good. Yeah, I would have thrown a U in there for sure. But Juwan Taylor, 23% of the vote. DK Metcalf is actually polling ahead of Rashawn Gary at this point in time. And I wonder if that's people don't like Rashawn Gary or they are rebelling against the idea of taking a defensive lineman. That's kind of maybe more to it. I think there is a faction of people that are fascinated by DK Metcalf. You've got others who say, hey, you know, he's a workout wonder. He's whatever. The production doesn't match the hype, and that's fine. But DK Metcalf with 10%, Rashawn Gary with 9% of the vote is where we're at. You can continue to vote. We'll leave that up there, @MD_1010XL, and we'll leave the Twitter poll up until tomorrow's program. But it looks like Hockenson is going to pull this one down pretty easily when it's all said and done. Somebody on the text line makes a point. We're talking about the finances of, you know, Nick Foles' cap hit rising next year as the dead money from Bortles rolls off the cap. You have a huge number for Calais next year as well. You've got to get Jan an extension, or you would presume. A couple on this front. One on the text line driven by Duval Ford, also regarding finances. Marcel Darius' contract after the restructure is $22.5 million next year. At least in terms of the cap hit, it is. And the dead cap would be 2.5, essentially a 1-year deal for this year. That is absolutely right. Marcel Darius' cap figure, even though his salary next year, if you were on the Jaguars, would only be $9.5 million, based on the restructure, the cap hit this year is $5.5 million, which is about half of what it was going to be. Next year, it would balloon to $22.5 million. So they're not having Marcel Darius on this team at the age of 30 with a $22.5 million cap hit.
No, and all they'd owe him if they let him go is the half the signing bonus, basically, 2.5. Like he's
right,
he's,
two and a half would hit the cap.
Yeah, he's going to get
$2.5 million.
Somewhere, what would that be, like $18 million cash from him next year or something like that if he's here?
Salary
20. I bet it's 20.
He gets like 10 in a bonus. that he will never.
Yeah, that's a roster bonus, I'm
pretty
sure.
So he's not going to see the $10 million roster bonus. He's got a $500,000 workout bonus.
Yeah, $20
million. Right. He's got $9.5 million in salary. That's 20 plus the prorated portion of his signing bonus, which he's already pocketed, you know, which would be $2.5 million bucks. So that is, again, I don't know what the intent of this texter was either pointing out that, hey, here's some money that's going to disappear off the cap, or was he saying, hey, looking ahead, here's another spot you're going to need to fill next year potentially, right? Which is why when you talk about Rashawn Gary, now Rashawn Gary is not – doesn't strike me as the guy who's going to play the nose, right? He's going to either play like your big end and he could slide inside and play some three technique or a pass rush on third down. That's kind of where Taven Bryan's supposed to be playing, right? Yes, you do have Avery Jones, but you're going to need another defensive tackle by next year as well.
And the texter did say earlier in the show that he wouldn't be surprised if they took like an Ed Oliver. So I think he is saying.
And that may be, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm,
defensive lineman. I don't think he's specifically making an argument for a player. I think he's saying this is legit. Like, they're going to need depth along the defensive line. They're picking at 7 this year in a draft that's full of blue-chip defensive line prospects.
If they think Ed Oliver's the best player in the draft, at that point, they'll take Ed Oliver, right? Because it is a position of impending need.
Yeah.
Ed Oliver has been talked about for the last couple of years, Tony, as potentially the best player in the class, period.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you got these three defensive linemen at the top that have become the consensus guys, and I understand it. Look, the level of competition, for one thing, for Josh Allen, he dominated the SEC. You know, I don't have an issue with that. Now, he plays a different position than Ed Oliver, but just in terms of like an overall grade, that's not the worst idea I've ever heard. You know, if you thought Josh Allen was a better player, like if Josh Allen is available to the Jags, there's a high likelihood that he'd be the Jags pick. So I'm not opposed to Ed Oliver. We had to limit the poll to 4 guys, right? And I think there are people out there just starting to maybe realize, and maybe haven't even realized yet, how much defense is in play for them with the 7th pick, right? Because there's been so much talk about offense, offense, offense. What are you going to get?
Right.
Well, now the quarterback's out of the picture. Okay, how are you going to help Nick Foles? Well, you don't only help him with the 7th overall pick in the draft. And you got to balance, if I can get a great pass rusher and a so-so tackle versus a pretty good tackle and a so-so edge rusher later on, what's the better combination of things? It's not that I'm trying to sell that angle, but that may be how they ultimately view it, that, hey, you know what? If we take pass rusher here, we still have enough offensive tackles that we could get to add into the mix with Richardson and the boy he to battle it out in the 2nd or even 3rd round.
Sure. I mean, you got your starting left tackle in the 2nd round. I mean, who's to say that you couldn't get your starting right tackle in the 2nd round this year? You know,
look, like, offensive linemen get drafted all throughout the draft and end up being really good players.
And the more and more we talk about it, like, I am sliding more and more to that end of it. Like, give me a player. I'm not as concerned about the position because of how many positions I think they need help. And I think there is more of an immediate need at right tackle than, say, there is along the defensive line for 2019. Right, like, to that degree, I would agree with you. But beyond that, I don't think the need is all that much bigger at defensive line compared to right tackle. I really don't, because of the decisions that they're going to have to make. I don't know if Calais is going to be here. I certainly don't think Darius is going to be here. I don't see much from Taven Bryan to give me any kind of hope. Hopefully, you know, there is something that you get from him this year, but that's the guy they drafted in the 1st round. Didn't see much from him last year. In a draft with a bunch of blue-chip guys, and they're on the defensive line, and to some degree, tight end, with the way that they talk about a guy like Hockenson and a few of the other prospects of that position, they don't talk about the offensive linemen that are available in this draft that way. None of them. None. It's not like there's one of them that they're like, this is the guy. It's Juwan Taylor's the best of this group.
Right, and particularly if you're looking for a right tackle.
Yeah.
Right, which is what they presume. We're trying to fit that need as much as anything with the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe elevating Juwan Taylor's status up the board a little bit. All right, we'll come back. I'll give you another. I told you I had a couple of responses here that weighed in on this. I'll give you another one that would clear the decks of cap space in years to come. We'll explain when we return in a moment. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today, live at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars today, moving on here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Tony, a counterpoint to what we were talking about earlier, you've got Unique Ngakoue. I think you and I both agree one of the top priorities for this team sometime in the next 8 months is to get him signed to an extension, right? Maybe I say 8 months, maybe not, you know, whatever. Between now and the start of the next league year, close to a year's time, I guess, you've got. But I think you and I both agree the earlier you do it, likely the better. Get him wrapped up, but you've got salary cap implications as well. When you sign him, how much you're going to allocate to the cap this year, how much next year, all those different things. If you can get a deal worked out. Somebody on Twitter had a counterpoint to that, and did it disappear from my timeline? They didn't possibly delete it, did they? They said cut or trade Unique Ngakoue, problem solved. Well, then you create a new problem. Yes, it solves the problem of you're not going to have to pay him a big contract, but where does your pass rush come from?
Let me say this about that, too. I think whoever they're drafting at 7 with the defensive lineman that I expect to be available to him at 7, I don't think any of them are as good as Unique Ngakoue. I don't think anybody they're drafting along the defensive line is as good a football player as Unique Ngakoue is.
I would probably agree with you, although I'm not going to claim to break down the film of Rashawn Gary and these guys.
No, just
right?
The way people talk about him.
But
it's
Unique Ngakoue,
not the same.
It's interesting. Unique Ngakoue led the Big Ten in sacks when he came out.
He did.
Coming out of Maryland, but he lasted until the third round. People thought he was too maybe undersized to play the run consistently and things like that. And that's why you get a guy like that. And, you know, I think I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's proven it at the NFL level, that he can play at a high level. But regardless, even if you think that Rashawn Gary is a replacement for Unique Ngakoue, okay, or whomever, you draft that guy, you move on from Unique. Well, when Calais is cap figure balloons next year, then what are you looking at? If Calais is not part of this team going forward, wouldn't you rather eat a big cap figure for a guy that you drafted and is in his mid-20s?
Yes.
I would, right? I mean, look, Calais versus Jan, right now Calais is a better player. But
yeah,
how long will that be the case if it, in fact, is the case in 2019 going forward? And he may be. I just don't know how long that's going to continue to be the case. I don't think that, for me, that's not a situation that I'm at all interested in. Unless you would have to like luck into a couple of cheap alternatives. You know, that's the whole thing is two's not enough anymore. If you want to be a high level team, unless you're talking about two great players that never come off the field, but in sub packages. You know, if you have any kind of injuries, if you want to keep the defensive line pressure up there, you got to replenish that position. I'm not saying you have to spend the 7th pick in the draft on a pass rusher. Obviously, you didn't with Unique Ngakoue. You got him in the 3rd round, but you're going to have to find something to complement what you already have. I don't want to have to replace what I already have.
Well, and I think you said it a moment ago, that idea that the Jags may seriously be looking at a defensive lineman at number 7. I think for a lot of fans that have had the idea in their head of help the offense, help the offense, help the offense, help the offense since the season ended, it's a new thought. I think for some portion of the fan base out there that maybe they would be thinking about a defensive lineman at 7 when we talk about it. I think the defense is really good for 2019. That doesn't mean that I don't think that they can help themselves by taking a defensive lineman at number 7 in this draft, given the options that they're going to have. I don't like putting yourself in a spot where you take a position because you feel like you have to take that position. And I'm not saying, look, they evaluate the offensive linemen, and if they think the offensive linemen are equal to these guys, okay.
Fine.
You know, that's fine. And again, it's one of those, they got to be right. You know, they just have to be right with whatever they do. The way people talk about the offensive lineman compared to the way that they talk about the defensive lineman, even the ones that would be available to the Jags at 7 if those top 3 prospects are off the board, and the way they talk about the tight end position, they're at number 7 as well. It's different. It's just different. The conversation at the kind of level that is expected of those guys is different, which is why I keep leaning more towards right now, my guess is defensive line is what I think the Jaguars are going to do at this point. And Beyond that, I think it's likely going to be an offensive lineman, but offensive line, tight end would be the order that I expect it to happen at this point.
Maybe where the value is. I mean, maybe as simple as that. Now, again, all these scenarios, give me a trade back. Right?
Absolutely.
Give me a trade back and still potentially get an elite player at one of these positions that we're talking about, or the top guy at his position, and add a couple of extra picks for your trouble, then we're talking.
Sure.
Calais Campbell will be 33 years old on September 1st of this year when the season starts. So obviously in 2020, when the season starts, he'll be 34 years old. Calais Campbell has a big cap number this year, and they're, as of now, planning on him playing at that at 14.5. And we had the conversation that was going on. Calais is open to a restructure. Restructure doesn't make him lose money. He gets more money up front, and the Jags get more creative ways to spread that cap hit out over multiple years if they want to, lessening the cap hit. Maybe they've decided, you know what? We've done all the heavy lifting we're going to do for the most part this year. Let's recoup this money on next year's cap, because if you release Calais Campbell next year, you're going to save $15 million against cap by the release of him. This year, you would have $5 million in dead cap. He's counting 14 and a half, so you would have saved 9.5, still significant. But next year, if he is on the Jaguars team as under the current contract, he'll count for $17.5 million of salary cap space. And if you release him, he'll count for $2.5 million. So if you get rid of Calais Campbell and Marcel Darius, because we already talked about Darius' cap figure for next year, this is why defensive line is such a factor that's in play. It's why, in part, they took Taven Bryan last year. Right, even if they didn't think they're going to get a major contribution out of him as a rookie, what might he be a year or two down the road when we've got these tough decisions to make? But Calais and Darius, that's $40 million on your cap between those two guys. Darius would be 30, Calais would be 34. You got to refresh the bodies on the defensive line, because again, you know, I don't agree with the I don't think there's any interest in them letting Yannick Ngakoue walk out the door. Jalen Ramsey, big contract extension. All these things that you got to factor in. So whether it's defensive end, defensive tackle, Ed Oliver, you name the guy, Rashawn Gary, whomever that may happen to be, if they think that guy is close to being the best player available at that spot, it shouldn't be surprising.
Sure, and if they got another year out of Calais like they've had the last couple of years, they may be happy to pay him $15 million again. You know, like if they're still getting that level of player, and that may be in part why they didn't redo it. You know, we're fine paying Calais that kind of money and not have, like, not pushing it to another year where they would almost be putting their own feet to the fire if they did what they did with Darius with Calais, where we're not going to pay him 25.
Right.
You know, like, it's, we're comfortable if we have to pay him 15 for the next two, as long as that's the Calais we're getting.
Or 17 and a half.
Right. Or we expect him to be that guy. Right. Like, that's the expectation we have for Calais right now. And we think we can get two more years of that with Calais Campbell. That doesn't mean you don't still think about the other positions along that defense. I mean, Darius isn't going to be here.
You know,
I mean, he's just not.
The thing about Marcel, too, you're not even going to have a big cap savings by getting rid of him, right?
No.
You're just not going to take that massive hit.
You're paying him, yeah.
He's only counting 5.5 this year. So if he counts 2.5 next year, okay, you're recouping $3 million against a cap. And, you know, Calais would be $3 million more against the cap next year. You would save a potential $15 million. Obviously, they're going to cut Marcel under the current terms of the contract, because they're not going to have a cap hit of $22.5 million. Absolutely insane. They're paying him a $10 million roster bonus. It's why they structured it that way. So you start to look ahead. What, Avery Jones and Taven Bryan, are you confident that that's the duo you can go to battle with in the future? I mean, how much does defensive tackle become a priority? If Marcel Darius had not restructured his deal, let's say he just got cut this offseason, right?
Okay.
What would the plan be? I mean, wouldn't we be talking a lot more about Ed Oliver these days?
Probably.
You would think, right? Because he seems to be the guy among the defensive tackles if you're going to take one at that spot, unless Quinnen Williams somehow tumbled to you.
Sure.
Right.
But you said the top three were out of the consideration.
Today, yeah. But I mean, there are scenarios out there.
Yeah.
I mean, when we say that, at least we're just acknowledging, we're basing it on,
if Quinnen Williams or Joey or Bosa was there,
of course.
Sign me up.
Of course, right. And for that matter, Josh Allen, Tony, again, that level of production in the Southeastern Conference,
I mean, yeah,
is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah.
Once you get out of that,
plus if that's happening, that means quarterback isn't like falling in your lap.
Right,
like, none of that's happening.
Probably your trade down scenarios aren't as great. Although, if you had Bosa sitting, Bosa's a pipe dream. He's not going to be there. Yeah. It doesn't appear. But
if you had Bosa sitting there, they're not moving.
This is just based on what the consensus seems to be of who the top three players are on the draft. Those three defensive linemen should not make it to number seven. Right, you wouldn't think in most years. There are scenarios where we've seen one of those guys slide through the cracks for whatever combination of reasons, usually because there's been a run on quarterbacks in the top six. I'm not anticipating three quarterbacks going in the top six. Most of those scenarios would have some team trading up for Drew Lock because they got antsy that they're missing out on the little wave of quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Anyway, so that's why, we sit here and say, oh, they need this, they need that. They need a lot of things.
They need a lot.
And you got to not just balance what you need this second, you got to balance that against what you're going to need
from now. You're dealing with coming to the end of whatever the window was going to be for this defense, and trying to figure out what pieces are the most important to keep in place and what's it going to cost you to keep them in place. And that's why when they said they were drafted for the future last year, it was a little bit frustrating, but you could understand it to some degree. It's like, okay, we know, they're a year or two away from needing these guys potentially to have to be impact on the field guys. They just got to be right about them being impact on the field guys. Like, it's okay. Taven Bryan, if he's going to be an impact player in 2019 for you, great, but he's got to be. And, we're coming to that crucible right now. It's not a, well, we hope. It's got to be. Because of the decisions that you're making at these other spots. And now they have an opportunity. They're picking in a premium spot again because of how badly last season went. You got to nail it. I mean, you have to nail it. And even if, as happy as you could possibly be about them bringing in Nick Foles, there are so many spots on this roster still that they need help. And it's not just about help for 2019. It is looking at 2020 and beyond with where this team, this roster is going to be because it's going to look different than it does right now and certainly than it did 2 years ago when they went to the AFC Championship game. They're already very different than they were 2 years ago.
The safeties are different. Malik is gone. Next year we're talking about Darius being gone, maybe Calais being gone, maybe Telvin, Tony. Telvin Smith will be 29 years old next year. Miles Jack will be 24, okay?
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised at all if they just move him to the outside and moved on from Telvin.
Right. Right now, Miles Jack's costing you $2 million against your cap this year. Well, if he gets an extension, he's going to cost you $10 million plus, likely. Whereas Telvin, this year, the dead money didn't make sense for them to outright release Telvin Smith because you're not saving anything. In fact, you're hurting yourself against the cap by about $1 million if you were to release him. Next year will be a different story. He's due to count $12.8 million against the salary cap, but if you release him, the dead money is $5.6 million, so you're saving $7.2 million. Now, you're starting to accumulate a lot of dead money here, right? I mean, Blake's dead money will roll off, but you get a few from here, a few from there, a few from the other place, and you're going to have another little pile. It's just going to be spread out between more players. But you're right. I mean, is that a consideration? People have said Devin White at LSU, who you see more consistently now mocked almost in the top six than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
Tampa a lot.
If he's sitting there, do you look with an eye towards the future? Like, we'll figure out a way to use him a little bit this year, but next year he's a starting middle linebacker. And like you said, Miles Jack is our weak side linebacker, and we're going to invest in him and let Telvin go because Miles Jack is 5 years younger than Telvin Smith. It's kind of crazy to think I still think of Telvin as being like 23. I guess it's that boyish enthusiasm that he's got. I don't know. We'll take a look at the poll, and we'll kind of go through, rank the candidates that we had in there today amongst ourselves, and a final thought or two on Rob Gronkowski as well. Coming up in just a minute, if you're on the line, we'll get to you there at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey, what's happening? This is Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, final 10 minutes of the program today. We'll get to where things stand in our question of the day poll, asking you about the four specific players that could be staring the Jaguars in the face at number seven, and if those were the choices, which way you would like to go. 641-1010, it's still time to get in on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. This one on capology on the text line here. Jags should have at least 45 to 50 million in 2020 cap space. Number one, the cap will rise at least 10 million as it has every recent year. I agree with that. That's a roughly add 10 million to the cap. They says Darius Calais won't be back on their 2020 contract, so he'll either be released or extended. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about, right? That's how you create this cap space. And then they say that alone puts a team approximately $47 million under the cap. And that's roughly right, because you would save, what is it?
I think they're at like $2 million right now. You add the 10 for it just going up, so that's 12.
Right, and Darius, and they would save you a little under 40. I mean, they would roll 40. Their combined cap hit would be 40, but they'd still cost you like 5, so it'd be like 35, something like, so 47, that's where you get it. But he goes, the first year cap hit total of Jalen, Unique, and Miles extensions, this is assuming they signed all three, $24 million combined. Really?
Why would you? One, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that number.
Jalen's going to want a contract that averages over $20 million a year.
Right.
And will not settle for less, in my opinion.
And I think fans that think the extensions come in at like the next offseason for Jalen Ramsey.
You mean this offseason?
This or the next. I think they're going to be severely disappointed.
I think Jalen's going to be disappointed.
I don't doubt
this offseason.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. But I don't think it's going to happen. And I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. I really am. Like next year, going into that fifth year, knowing he's playing on that fifth year option, what it's going to what the fit that I am expecting from Jalen Ramsey. I think fans that have been watching what's happened in other places and laughing at other cities having to deal with it, I think you're going to have to deal with it in the very near future.
You know, to say that, could you get them under contract with an $8 million cap hit each in the first year? Sure, you could.
Sure, you could.
Why would you want to?
When you have $50 million.
If you have $50 million in cap space, you better eat a big chunk when you can, when you're able. What you don't want is for all three of them to have contracts that balloon.
No. And by the way,
they go on.
Because I know some fans are going to hear what I just said about Jalen Ramsey a certain way. That's not me saying I don't think Jalen Ramsey deserves whatever Jalen Ramsey thinks he deserves. I think he's a good enough player that, yeah, he's worth that money. I think he is absolutely worth that money. I think there's going to be the business of the NFL is going to be on full display with a player trying to get what he thinks he's worth versus a team, an organization trying to continue to put themselves in the best position to make everything happen and not just make one player happy. And I think Jacksonville hasn't had to deal with that and at this kind of level, ever. I don't think they've ever, like, the mojo is
I'd
the closest
that
ever got to it.
And mojo, wasn't going to, he got his extension.
He got his extension, then wasn't happy with it. And so he didn't show up. This is a completely different animal. The fans here have never had to deal with this. And it's coming. And it's not because I don't think Jalen's worth it. I think he 100% is.
He wasn't happy with it, mojo, in part because he took his extension when he hadn't proven that he could handle the full-time load. And so you don't get.
Right.
When you prove you can handle, you don't get the Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, top
he waited a year
market
to sign.
Money. I mean, not that the money would have been the same then, but right. If you want to bet on yourself or if you want to take the security of getting a nice signing bonus, you take a little bit less. And that's the nature of the beast, man.
Sure.
Nobody's ever happy with their contract after they sign it, apparently. Let's go to Lewis at the Town Center at 641-1010. Thanks for hanging on, Lewis. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Really enjoyed the discussion about the defensive line, and I was curious what the news is regarding Dexter Lawrence. If you recall, prior to the national championship game and throughout the season, he was the best of a really great Clemson D-line, and you really haven't heard much about him as of late. Could that potentially be a sleeper pick for the Jaguars?
At 7, I don't think so, is my guess. But I could be wrong about that. I mean, look, I don't know what's going on inside their heads, Tony. But Dexter Lawrence seems to me the kind of guy who's going to come off the board somewhere between the Jaguars' first and second picks.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you look at him, and he can be a dominant guy. I mean, Quinnen Williams, no defensive tackle is going to put up monster sack numbers outside of the rare freak like Aaron Donald, something like that. But I don't get the sense. Now, again, Lewis, Tom Coughlin's not whispering in my ear what he thinks about Dexter Lawrence, but my opinion is just based on where the scouts rank him. Keep in mind, when I say the scouts, I'm talking about the internet scouts here, right? Mm-hmm. The Daniel Jeremiah's and the like. They get a lot of feedback from scouts, decision makers, personnel people, and I think they color their rankings accordingly because they don't want to look like the guy who is so far out of bat, like, wow, I'm wildly overrated this guy or wildly underrated this guy. And I don't get the sense that Dexter Lawrence is talked about in NFL circles as a top 10 guy this year, or even close to it. So
no, you don't get that sense at all. And the way that I've heard people talk about him is he's more of, you know, your typical run-stuffing kind of interior lineman, more so he doesn't give you a ton in the pass rush. You saw it his freshman year and really not much since.
Right.
Just hadn't lived up to that same kind of thing since. So
In this mock draft by Matt Miller today at Bleacher Report, he had him lasting to the 56th pick in the draft, going, of course, to New England Patriots, where he'll then play like a top 10 pick. So, I mean, if the Jags take him, be a lot more likely that they take him in the second round if he's sitting there. And that would depend in part on what they did in the first round as well. But you're right. He's the space eater. I mean, he'd be the guy if you want your Henderson and Stroud combo and you thought Taven Bryan was going to be one of those guys, then, you know, he's kind of the thunder to Taven Bryan's potential lightning, right?
Yeah.
The athleticism, the quickness and all that. But appreciate the call. That's kind of how we see it right now. Based on what you know with these guys, how would you go with the four if those were your four choices? See, I appreciate what the listeners are talking about. Like, I can't tell you that Rashawn Gary is for sure top defensive end at that spot.
And but, I think
– but you got to answer it the way we asked it today.
Yeah, I would – the way we asked it, I would go Hockenson, Gary, Taylor.
I probably would too. DK Metcalf's not on the radar, really.
Metcalf.
I put him in there because I know a lot of people were buzzing about him, and I still get a lot of questions that this is a guy we can't pass up. This is our alpha receiver to completely redesign this whole wide receiver core. By the way, Marquise Brown was the pick from Matt Miller in round two for the Jaguars in that. Antonio's brother, right?
Something, yeah.
Another related. I think it's his cousin and not his brother. And he's the one with the – what does he have? Does he have a Lisp Frank? He's got some kind of foot issue, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know if I want to draft a receiver with a foot issue. He had Juwan Taylor to the Jags in the first round, had Marquise Brown, the wide receiver to the Jags, in round two. Let me see. He did a three-round mock. I'll tell you who he gave him in round three here with their two picks.
Yeah, Lisp Frank.
He had defensive lineman Draymond Jones out of Ohio State and running back Justice Hill out of Oklahoma State at the end of round three. You see, that's kind of the range. You see Justice Hill come off the board somewhere in the late third to the mid-fourth round, something like that. I'd probably agree with you on the order, although I could convince myself that if the grades were equal, that defensive end, based on everything we talked about today, should be the top priority.
Yeah. And there might be another defensive lineman that Ed Oliver would excite me more.
Right.
Then Rashawn Garrett, I do fall on that. You told me to answer it the way that we asked it.
Yeah, I mean, they may love Montez Sweat.
Yeah, and I think Sweat or Oliver probably excite me more than Rashawn Gary do, but he is the one that I see most often going to the Jags.
And that's why we
threw
him in.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We've done the positional thing, though. What spot do you want to go?
Sure.
We're trying to narrow down a little bit more specific as you get a feel as things move along here.
Sure. And I do, tight end makes a ton of sense to me. I mean, it makes a ton of sense.
But then again, you know, so does grabbing Jay Sternberger at the top of round three if he's there out of Texas A&M. You know, I mean, there are
You got no control over that.
I know that you don't, but you're not going to have control. All you have control with is the pick you have on the clock. So if you take Hockenson, you could have had Irv Smith in round two and been just fine with that. Or, you know, if you take Rashawn Gary, you know, whoever it is, you can't control what's going to be available to you. But you got to
base it on plans in place.
How deep is the position and what's likely to happen? They mock it out themselves. They do seven-round mock drafts, multiple mock drafts.
And from that perspective, I could understand the argument that you're more likely to get somebody that can impact you at tight end in the third round than you are a defensive lineman that can have that kind of impact.
Ngakoue is looking right at you right now.
Yeah. especially with the way that they talk about it in this draft. Like, it is a draft where the impact people are talking about is coming from the defensive line. It is.
It's arguably, people are asking the question, will this turn out to be the best defensive line draft in the history of the National Football League?
And the Jags are sitting there with a lot of fans thinking they need to take a tight end or an offensive tackle.
Right.
I mean, it's. They've been in that kind of position. It feels like the history of the organization is they're a year late or a year early whenever the need is there. Like, that feels like it's been the history of the Jags. And I, for this year, with them picking seven and all the needs that they have all over the place, I'd rather them just look at it and say, that's the best football player in this draft available to us at seven. I don't care that he plays defensive tackle.
I have a feeling they're going to tell us that, right, no matter who they pick.
Right. Well, whoever they take, they're going to tell us, this is our guy. He's the best player that was in the draft. You know, like, that's what they're going to tell us. I hope that it's true. And I certainly hope, like you do, that they're right. For the first time in a while about
honest
it, too.
Goodness, right? I mean, does it really matter in the end? Just be right.
Be right about
Pro
Foles.
Bowl caliber player.
Be right about whatever you're doing. Hopefully Taven Bryan turns into whatever you thought Taven Bryan was going to turn into. Will Hernandez is the starting right tackle. Wouldn't all that be nice? That would be fun if all of it worked out for him.
If it really worked out, sure. Yeah. Wait, best case scenario, the right tackle position's already answered on this team. Jeff Swaim's ready for a breakout season. Dede Westbrook is en route to 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns this year. So let's just make some luxury picks now, Tony.
Why not,
best
man?
Available.
They're set.
BAP.
What are we worried
BAP
about?
The whole way down the line as we continue with all our picks in the NFL draft. All right, with that, it's time to say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
Now, I'm going to assume, like I was yesterday, Joe Cowart was rooting for UCF because he did not pick Duke to win the national championship.
I did not. And I was rooting hard for him just for the obvious reason that I send so much money to UCF.
Ah, okay. There is that, right.
Yeah, because Annie, oldest, went there.
Yeah.
Michael's still going there. Hyla graduated as well. So.
All right, well, there's that, right? Now, I would have thought it would be nice for them to win back-to-back football and basketball championships.
Oh, of course.
In consecutive years. Would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. And then the little grandbaby right here, I'll just show it to you real quick. You know, the doting Papa Joe here.
All in
– She was wearing
not
her
St.
UCF.
Joe's athletic garb.
No, she was wearing UCF stuff just to try and pull them all through. I mean, look at that right there, you two. Look at that.
Oh, that's pretty cute.
Is that not awesome?
That's pretty cute.
I just put it out on Twitter. But she, you know, seriously, all the UCF that's all in my house, yeah, they love it, and they were heartbroken.
All right,
that
so you, like I, have North Carolina winning it all, and you're points ahead of me in the standings. So what is your final four? I got to know.
I have Gonzaga.
Okay. Oh, good. I got Florida State. So that's going to eliminate one of us.
And I tell you what, coming out of this weekend, I like Gonzaga and Purdue the most. Those are the two that just completely
impressed
me.
Coming out of round one, I might have liked Oklahoma the most. Yeah. And then Virginia.
Oh, it can change in a heartbeat.
You know, it really does.
You're right. So anyway, I've got
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, Duke. Tennessee, Duke, North Carolina.
Okay. So Gonzaga, Florida State are the only one we have different.
Yeah.
That'll be a big game. They play
so
this
Thursday.
So
you got Tennessee.
I got Tennessee in the Final Four. I've got North Carolina over Duke. You have North Carolina over Duke, I assume, as well. So it's all going to – either Florida State gets to the Final Four or I'm eliminated.
But
if I were to redraw it,
I would put – I would have Duke getting knocked out earlier. I have Gonzaga winning.
You would have Gonzaga winning.
Yeah.
I'll let you change that right now if you'd like.
No, I'm good. Stay with what we got for right now.
All right, Joey, what do you guys have coming up today? Some Gronk talk, perhaps?
Yeah, the Gronk talk and you know, kind of following what you guys are talking about as far as the draft is concerned. But, you know, just a bunch coming out of the weekend. That game was incredible. I know a lot of chalk won, but I thought we saw some great basketball. So we'll get into all of it, look at our brackets, where we stand, and then also do a little spring football news for the college football fans.
All right, Joey, have a good show today, bud.
All right, guys.
All right, Fat Tony, what do you got on tap for the rest of today?
Not much.
I've got
I'm thinking about going to see a movie. I haven't decided yet. I'll maybe go see Us. I really want to see Us.
So. I'm like at the point now, like I don't want to see any scary movies. Like I'm old man now.
Man,
I don't need any jump scares or anything like that. It looks really good.
Yeah.
In fact, if it weren't a horror movie, people are saying it would be early contender for Picture of the Year type game. It's like it checks a lot of boxes.
I mean, his last one was up for it.
The Academy doesn't – right, but the Academy historically
they don't
does
do
not
horror movies.
Reward horror movies.
No.
So I got to watch Billions today. I did not watch it last night, so I got to catch up on Billions. And, man, it's so nice outside, but I played golf yesterday, and I know the old man. I want to play, but I know my
body
likes
will rebel.
Me better,
yeah.
Right, if I only do one consecutive day on the links. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for playing along. I'm sure something more draft-related for the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow. So one more day in the books. That's
4.5
that
weeks,
much closer.
Guys.
Yeah, not even that, right? 4 weeks, 3 days, just right there. and we'll be complaining about whoever they took with the seventh pick in the NFL.
It's an annual tradition.
It's ready. Just, even TJ Hockenson right now might be the most popular guy, but even that's not going to be universally popular with everybody.
No.
So it's kind of the fun of it. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Tony for ET and Joe Fortunato. I'm Mike Dempsey. We're back again tomorrow. By the way, Cecil Shore's going to join us on Wednesday's program.
Yes.
We nailed that down with him. So I know we had talked about possibly having him on tomorrow. We'll also check in with John Osier over the next couple of days from the owners' meetings and Mike DiRocco, Tom McManus later on in the week as well. That does it for us. XL Primetime is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 10 to noon right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go to the